What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And a good rainy Thursday to you, and welcome into the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and 106.3. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you today. Lots to get into, like I said, on what looks like going to be a gray, overcast, wet day here on this Thursday as we inch a little bit closer to Memorial Weekend. Hope everybody's got big plans. It's going to have a lot of fun here this weekend. Elijah Campbell back in the saddle, manning the board. Our Hillside Medical Game Studios. Talk a little Preds, a little hockey. Talk a little Titans. Talk some football. Now Adam Kaplan is going to join us. Elliot Freeman will join us at 1 o'clock for his normal weekly chat. Adam Kaplan at high noon. John Glennon at 11 o'clock. Talk a little bit more about some discussions we've had this week about the Titans. So a lot going on here as we're getting close to closing out the month of May. On into June we go. Let's get a Hoover update. Let's look. Is there a tarp on the field?
I'm just turning on the TVs here. They're all off. So I guess I'm the first guy in the studio today.
Indeed you are. Can confirm.
Let's see. Arkansas's in the dugout.
Are they playing?
Arkansas and Alabama?
Vanderbilt and Tennessee are slated to be the second game.
Second game, yeah.
I know last night in watching the recap, they only got two games in yesterday. They were not real optimistic about a perfect day today in Birmingham. Of course, here we are sitting in the rain here in our listening area. I don't know exactly what the latest is, but I don't know if they're going to get everything in again today.
See, Alabama, no, Arkansas's out on the field. Yeah, I don't know.
So you think they're going to get it in? At least start?
I mean, they're so far behind.
No, are they going to start today's game on time?
I guess. I mean, like I said, well, right now, currently Arkansas is on the field, so.
Okay.
We shall see. Okay.
The key to finishing on time is starting on time.
Yeah, well, you know, or just playing, starting, period. So, yeah, that would be. We'll see if they can get this thing in. I don't know. I don't know what's been the worst weather they've had or ever had over an SEC baseball tournament.
I remember a year, and it was, I don't know, I'm going to guess around 2007 and 2008, somewhere in there, they had to go into Memorial Day in order to finish. It went past, and it was ugly. Vanderbilt made the final, I think, but it was a long weekend. So I'm not sure. Usually they get it in one way or the other by Sunday, which is what you want. And then Monday, of course, the brackets get announced.
Yeah, I can't keep up. I know it's not a rerun of an LSU-Miami Hurricanes game, you know, two decades ago. So I don't know if they're rerunning games or what they're doing. I don't know if this is live or not. They don't have the nice thing about Bally Sports, sometimes when you go there, you know, at least they'll put replay up so you know that you're not watching something live because, you know, sometimes you don't know what you're looking at. It says Florida and A&M are currently in a weather delay.
So this doesn't bode well, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, I was watching the guys last night.
This is a repeat of yesterday when Alabama jumps on them 5-5-1.
Yeah, so Alabama won that game. That was one of the two they got in. They were not optimistic last night. I mean, it was – they were like, yeah, scheduled to be the first game, scheduled to be the second game. Wow.
Come on, SEC Network. At least put replay up there. I mean, come on. You put nothing? you just have Alabama, Arkansas. I mean, you can't assume everybody knows when they turn that this is not live. Now, they do down in the far right-hand corner have Florida and Texas A&M currently in a weather delay. But come on, put something up there. Replay.
Well, I can't get – congratulations, at least you have a TV on. I can't get – I don't know how to work the TVs in here. I'm not good at that. I'll figure it out eventually. So,
who knows what's going to happen? I don't know. I suspect that they are going into Memorial Day. I don't know how they could escape it at this point. I know that it's supposed to. I think everything after today, and again, not meteorologist, but I know I've been looking at it. I think after today, everything is moving out, and everything is supposed to be nice moving forward. So, I mean, if they had Friday, Saturday, Sunday, three full days, I suspect they could wrap up on Monday, right?
Well, they don't want to have to wrap up on Monday. They want to get it in on Sunday if there's any possible way to do it. But I'm not sure if there is. We talked about this yesterday. They don't introduce a second field in situations like that, which probably would be the more practical way of doing it. Be easy to make up time that way, have two games at once. But I don't think they want to go there.
No. I know they don't want to go there, but, yeah. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how today goes. I mean, really, today is going to be the key, right? I mean, if they are unable to really get anything going today, I don't think they have a choice. I mean, I don't think I understand you want to wrap up by Sunday, but I don't know if that's going to be possible.
Well, we'll see.
You can't have two. Well, I guess you wouldn't. Yeah, it's double. So you would have to be playing two. You can't do two games in one day, can you?
Well, you could.
Well, I guess you could.
You could play two in one day.
You're not. You can. You know why? Because if they can do it in basketball, they can do it in baseball.
Well, they do it in baseball all the time. So
I know. That's what I'm saying. If you can do it.
They'll do that.
Remember what they did? Georgia played two games in one day in basketball in the SEC tournament.
That was pretty wild. Meanwhile, Lipscomb is 1-1 in their tournament. They play today in the A-Sun down in Fort Myers. Don't know what the weather looks like down there, but they're trying to stay alive. Middle has to try to stay alive. They're about to start in their game in Conference USA. They take on Charlotte to try to stay alive in the loser's bracket there. In the OVC, let's just see what's going on over there. Belmont had a really good regular season. They have their first game today, it looks like, against – in fact, they're underway, it looks like, against SIU Edwardsville, who beat Austin Peay yesterday. So good luck to Belmont in that one. And, you know, there's games going on all around the country. This is a fun week for college baseball. If you love college baseball, this is awesome. And the next week is even better when the regionals start.
I think regionals even more fun. That's when it really gets fun.
What's great about this week is everybody's playing. You get a chance to kind of see where everybody stacks up, who's made the improvement. And there's a lot of teams that this is it. Either you win or your season's over. There's no NIT. There's no nothing. It's on to summer ball.
Yep, Kentucky beat Auburn yesterday 3-1.
Kentucky's had some good wins late in the season. They're coming on.
Well, they had back-to-back bombs in the ninth, I believe, to win 3-1. I think it was tied, and they had two massive shots in the ninth to win 3-1. Bama ended up beating Arkansas 4-3. Yesterday, I believe that's right. And so, yeah, I mean, we'll see how this all plays out. I saw
Bama's trying to get in. They're trying to play their way into the tournament.
Yep. Did you see where an Ole Miss fan took exception to the whistler?
I heard about it. I didn't.
And went after it was in the stands.
I think it was staged.
You think? I mean, he was videoing the whole thing, so. I mean, that doesn't mean it's staged. It just means that he was mad enough to come with me, video.
And congratulations. You're the first person to be annoyed by the whistler.
You don't think he's the first?
I think we know. But he wants to be the hero, I guess, and go on video and
That's kind of the way I felt. It was like okay, but you understand, like you're towards the back of the line. Like, this has been going on for a decade, man. This is not
all I can say is, man,
ground.
you better pack a lunch and wear your hard hat if you think you're going to stop that guy. It's been tried. Yeah. There is no stopping the whistler.
No.
You can try. Good luck.
Video it. You can go down there. You can confront. You can video it. But
just good luck, man.
It's not going to change anything.
Yeah.
Not going to change anything.
Come back. It's going to be a long day if you want to see if you can stop that guy. Good luck. Yeah.
We're going to come back and talk about what an exciting game last night in Denver. Wow. If you were watching, boy, you got a treat there in the third period and in overtime. Not long in overtime with the Avs and the Blues. We'll also talk some Preds this hour as well. Adam Vingan has put out something on the Athletic. So we got a lot to discuss. We'll do that on the other side. Much to update you on from Hoover, Alabama. Right now they're currently in a rain delay. So if they ever play today, we'll pass along whatever we have. We'll come back and switch gears. Talk about a crazy night that was Avs-Blues last night in their Game 5. We'll do that next here on the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on the DDC on this Thursday morning. Hope everybody's having a great day. Boy, last night, Colorado looked like they were in control. Looked like they were going to eliminate the Blues. It looked all but done. That's why you play the game. That's why they play 60 minutes and then some. And that was the case last night. What a comeback. Colorado jumps out to a 3-0 lead. They're cruising. It looks like this puppy's in the books. Boy, they're having a good old time in Ball Arena. That's the old Pepsi Center or Pepsi Arena, whatever they called it, in Denver. And then, kaboom, St. Louis just kept chipping away, and they come back, and they tie it. And then Colorado, boy, I'll tell you what, the last 5-6 minutes of the third period were unbelievable. Nathan MacKinnon has a hat trick to give Colorado the lead with about 2.5 minutes to go, I think, was the time. And you're like, golly, St. Louis, all that effort to come back all for naught. Pull the goalie. That never works, right? Empty net, that never works. Oh, wait a minute. It did for the Blues last night when Thomas tapped in. A little rebound there in front. And then Bozak comes in there and wins it. 3.5 minutes. What a win by the Blues. I suspect with a win like that, there's a real shot they could maybe push this thing to 7.
That game had everything when you get down to it. I thought that in the first period, I thought Colorado probably could have, should have been up at least 3-0, maybe 4-0. I thought Ville Husso was actually very good. But St. Louis hung in there just enough. They're down 3-0 late in the second period. It's still complete control for the Avs. Place is rocking. And I think they thought they had it won, honestly.
So did I.
I did. I was looking ahead. I was thinking, wow, McDavid against MacKinnon. Wouldn't that be fun? Could still happen. But then all of a sudden, the Blues got going. And then that ended up, I think, that's the scenario where once the Blues started getting their legs under them and started pushing, I thought that's when the crowd starts getting nervous and the home crowd almost works against you in some way. And sure enough, they tied up. I didn't think it was Darcy Kemper's best. Mm-mm. That's what I was hoping for when the Predators played them in the first round, was that Darcy Kemper. And they were not really able to exploit him. Of course, he didn't play some of the games because of the he got gouged in the eye there, unfortunately, freakishly. But he had been playing really solid, and then he kind of lost it there. But then to the rescue, here comes Nathan MacKinnon with the goal of the playoffs. He took the puck behind the net and took it coast to coast. I kept thinking of Terry Crisp, coast to coast like butter toast, like he used to say all the time. That was an unbelievable goal. And you're thinking, okay, that's it. He just bailed him out. Now they've got it. And then, like you said, they pulled the goalie, and they almost had it. Did you see the TBS breakdown between regulation and overtime? Because they made an interesting point. This is a philosophical thing. And we've seen in this market, there have been 3 Predators coaches. 2 of them kind of feel the same way about the situation. 1 of them feels differently. The situation is Gabe Landeskog, the captain of the Avalanche. He gains possession of the puck. They're up by a goal. The net is empty. Now, there's 2 ways to play it before you get to the red line. Ideally, you get to the red line, and then you shoot at the empty net. Because if you miss, it's not icing. The clock keeps running. Correct? Mm-hmm. The gamble is that if you have an opportunity to shoot at the empty net, no matter how far away, take a shot at it. So there's 2 schools of thought. But if you miss from beyond the red line, it's icing, and it comes back. So that was what was being broken down at TBS. Landeskog had the moment. He had the puck. It was around the blue line. He could have shot it at the empty net, but he tried to get to the red line and then shoot, and by then the Blues closed in on him, and they took the puck away, and then they come down and score. So Rick Tocchet was kind of saying, should have shot it, man.
Oh,
could,
yeah.
You could have ended it right there.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good shooter. Some guys are better than others at hitting the net from way out there, but how many games change on a shot at the empty net that just misses, right? So you just never know. You didn't think much of it at the time, right? You think, oh, just okay, just keep going. Kill it off for 56 seconds. But the Blues, they were putting the pressure on. There's some teams at 6-on-5 that don't seem to ever be able to get a good shot. And then there's other teams that always seem to figure out how to put the pressure on the defense. It's one of the craziest situations in a game and one of the most fun to watch if you don't have a dog in the hunt. Okay, so which coach do you think his philosophy was to shoot aggressively at the empty net? Which of the three Predators coaches did that or do that?
Peter Laviolette.
Peter Laviolette is the one absolutely that would tell the guys, I don't care if you're all the way down at the goal line. If you have a chance, just get it out of there. I don't care if it's icing. Just get it out of there. Take a shot at the empty net. The other ones have, Barry Trotz, John Hines, more of a varying degree situation. They break down a lot of different things. But generally speaking, don't just at all costs shoot at the empty net. Peter Laviolette was interesting. He was like, look, I just want you to get it out of there, and you might score. So that was a really interesting moment, game within the game, and then sure enough, they tied it up. And then here's the final chapter. Who scores the winning goal? Tyler Bozak.
Yep.
Have you heard his name the entire playoffs up
to
this point?
Who could have predicted that? That was easy.
And he's a steady veteran guy. He hasn't done anything in a long, long time. Kind of a harmless shot that just gets through the traffic. I don't even know if it clipped a guy in the pant leg or something, but it goes through without Kemper even touching the puck from way out there.
Right.
How does that happen? But it happens.
Yeah, but how about the play earlier that the block shot that I'm not sure who was going
to stop. Yeah,
Bortuzzo. I was going to say, I couldn't remember who it was. In front, harmlessly hitting, drops down in front. If he's not there, it probably goes in. Game over. Thanks for playing.
Great hockey game. It's just a great hockey game. And now, new life for the Blues. They get to go back home. Who knows?
I mean, I know everybody's got their differing opinions on momentum and, Stanley Cup playoffs. We've had that discussion enough. But I'm not sure how do you not have momentum off of that?
Whew.
That is a gutsy win. I mean, if you were watching, I mean, it was all but over. I mean, look at the Avs fans. They were celebrating, man. They were like, conference finals, here we come. Awesome. Sit back, see who's going to win this Edmonton-Calgary series. See if this is finally going to happen. I mean, it was just a big old party. Rightfully so.
Yeah.
And then
I was in that mindset, not that I was rooting for them, but I was just thinking, they got it. And what a great night to be a fan there. You're watching, and then what a nightmare. Henrik Lundqvist, who I thought was pretty good.
He wasn't bad. He wasn't bad.
He's been doing stuff for the Rangers, so he's got some experience. I think he's got some interesting insights, but I think he hit the nail on the head. Think about all of the perspectives from Colorado. They haven't been to the conference finals in something like 20 years. They have not been able to get past this round in a long, long time, since Joe Sakic was a player, I think.
Right. Yeah.
And you think you're over it. You're so close to being there, and then to not get there, that's a tough mental hurdle to climb. Let alone for the fans, right? The fans are going to be going nuts with nervousness now. But the players, that's a he called it a reset. He said that's a very tough reset.
Yes, it
when
is.
You're that close and you don't get it.
I think St. Louis is going to be – that building is going to be jumping. They can build off that.
Whew.
On Friday night.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think it's going to be electric. And like I said, I think there's a real shot this could go seven. I think you can build off that. I thought they were dead. I thought it was a 4-1 series, and that was just – that's nothing but a gutsy win, man. That's really, really impressive by the Blues.
They're a really good team. They're
they
a
are.
Good team.
They are. And, you know, like I said, it could go seven, and if it does, who knows? You know how that works. Could be talking about a game seven on Sunday night. Or I don't know if they've announced if there will be a time, the time yet, if there is a game
yeah.
seven, but it will be on Sunday.
You know what's interesting, too? The drama of the NHL playoffs. And I flip over. I'm not exclusively hockey. I love the basketball, but it's just hard to get into the basketball games. It seems like every game, a team is jumping out by a big margin, and you haven't had a lot of great endings.
No.
I mean, hardly any. What are the good endings? We just haven't had those moments, right, where everybody's buzzing. Early on, maybe the early series, early games between Memphis and Golden State, there was the one where Job had the layup at the end. That was really dramatic. That had a lot of stuff. But the conference finals has been a series of wipeouts.
Yeah, we were so close last night. Close for 2.5 quarters.
I know. Then the Celtics just pulled away.
Pulled away.
The Heat goes 7-45 from three.
That is the one thing when you take a lot of threes, and all the teams do now. Really, that's the way to win, but you can have those nights.
I saw a stat where on semi-contested threes, which is considered semi-contested if a defender is 4 to 6 feet away from you, the Heat were 0-23.
Okay. I saw...
Not good.
I mean, Kyle Lowry is a great player, has been for a long time. He's a winning player, but man, he was bad last night. He couldn't hit anything. He had an air ball that, I swear, was one of the worst NBA air balls I've ever
seen. Isn't he playing hurt, though?
Yeah, I think he's had a kind of an injury thing.
Yeah,
he's been out.
I mean,
it's
got to be.
But that air ball wasn't even the best one that the Heat had. Victor Oladipo had two that my old high school basketball coach would refer to as scud missiles. Those
scud
break
missiles.
Backboards.
Okay.
Had two of them.
By the way, the
analytics.
Capitals, did you see Capitals announce Tom Wilson out 6 to 8 months?
Yeah, that sounds to me, of course, Darren, you and I have a little history there, the dreaded ACL.
I don't know why aren't they saying it?
I don't know.
They're done. Like, I don't.
Just, yeah.
Hockey. I don't understand this whole secret. I know who the coach is, so I'm not surprised. I get it.
You mean Peter Laviolette didn't provide any details?
Can you believe it? I cannot believe Peter Laviolette did not tell everybody what his knee injury is that'll keep him out 6 to 8 months. Well, let me see. I've had meniscus. It's not meniscus.
I mean,
MCL.
It can be. I guess if a certain kind of meniscus can be that long, if it's extreme.
I don't think
I remember trying to research this when Darius Garland had the meniscus. Like, is there hope? Is there hope? Of course, there's no hope.
It's a pretty rare – 6 to 8 months is pretty rare for meniscus. I mean, that would be max.
I shredded
mine, and it was, you know, come on. It wasn't even close.
That is something that can happen. You can have multiple injuries within the same knee, and that maybe that's – it was too much of a laundry list. But the bottom line is that's a key guy for the Capitals, and the Capitals are at a tough spot. Ovechkin's not getting any younger, even though he still continues to be a dominant player. Nick Backstrom, a lot of rumors about his health. He's still under contract for a number of years. He's got one of those long-term deals, and when he plays, he's still very good, but he's getting to that age where it's harder to stay healthy, harder to be as dominant. So just like every team, difficult decisions as they try to stay relevant. Stay in a position where they can compete for a championship. They don't. What's their biggest question? Goalie. Who's their goalie? Do they have a goalie that can win? Right now, I think the answer is no.
That's right. All right, we'll come back. More on the other side, DDC. We'll have John Glennon coming up at 11 o'clock. We'll switch gears, talk a little Titans and OTAs and all that good stuff as we're getting close to wrapping up the month of May. It's getting in the summer months, and before you know it, it'll be training camp and preseason, and away we go. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game, 106.3. This Sunday, Big Machine Music City Grand Prix Indy 500 Watch Party. We had Joseph Newgarden on earlier this week. That'll be at Jonathan's Grill in Mount Juliet. That'll be from 11 a.m. till 3 p.m. Hopefully Joseph Newgarden can drink that milk that he told us he's very excited to do and just pour it all over his face. The whole milk.
Whole milk. We did get down to the nitty-gritty on that. He is not. It's not a modern thing evolving into oat milk or almond milk.
Yeah, no.
It's the original, traditional.
It is.
He said it looks better on TV.
He did. You could also win a VIP experience at the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. That'll be, of course, in early August. That includes tickets, paddock passes, an official pace car ride. Sounds like a lot of fun. Enjoy 2-for-1 specials on draft and bottled beer. Again, that's Sunday at Jonathan's in Mount Juliet from 11 until 3 p.m. So keep that in mind if you want to go find a place to watch the Indy 500 and root on Joseph Newgarden. Adam Vingan, who we also had on earlier this week, had a good conversation with him from The Athletic, has put out a fan poll. Let's discuss some of the questions that he's put out there for the fans to vote on and kind of get their vibe going into the offseason. I think the last time I looked, there had been about 1,000 votes, something like that.
Yeah.
The last time I looked.
I like these questions. These are good. And unfortunately, we didn't really get to ask Adam about his observations. It does not reveal the results yet. It's not like a constantly updating thing with the questions. But here he goes. I heard the morning show actually take their crack at this, but it's good talk radio fodder here. Number one, and of course, as Robbie and Joe debate at times, how you word the questions and what choices you offer definitely influence the responses. No question about it. And I'll give you a couple examples. But which word best describes your feelings about the current state of the Predators? Optimistic, frustrated, skeptical, pessimistic, apathetic. So a lot of ways to go there. You can only pick one. I mean, even though you're probably sitting there going, well, all. At one time or another, ask me on Tuesday, I might feel one, and then Wednesday, I might feel a little better.
Check the wind patterns.
Yeah.
I would say, though, probably frustrated will probably win, would be my guess.
You think frustrated would win?
I think.
Okay. Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, how can you not be frustrated? You
right.
have to be frustrated. Everybody has to be frustrated, no matter how optimistic or pessimistic you might be. Both of the, like, that's what I would argue.
It'll come down to skeptical and frustrated in my book.
I'm optimistic
I think
by nature.
Win.
I'm always optimistic. Mm-hmm. And if you hear me talking about this on the show, I'm delivering why I think you can be optimistic. But I'm also really frustrated. Why wouldn't I be? I'm just as frustrated as anybody else at the way the season ended. So that's interesting choices. But I agree with you. I think frustrated probably because it's sort of a catch-all, it encompasses everything, will rise to the top.
Well, I think frustrated and skeptical is the two that'll probably battle.
Okay.
That's what I think will battle to the end. And I think frustrated will win out. But it's going to come down between frustrated and skeptical will be
yeah.
my guess.
I don't think optimistic is going to win.
I don't believe so.
Just the nature of sports. But I am optimistic. Okay, on a scale from 1
and
to 5.
I don't believe apathetic. I think apathetic and optimistic to
apathetic
me
should
two,
not be.
Should be two
an apathetic person wouldn't answer this survey.
Should be dead last. Yeah.
Right, you don't get on here and put the time in to put your answers in if you're apathetic,
yeah.
by definition.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, on a scale from 1 to 5, being 5 being the highest, how confident are you that David Poile can return the team to a Stanley Cup contender? Keyword being contender status, which is leaves room for interpretation and gray area. Like I would say that it was not the goal. 1 to 5. The last 2 years going into the season, I think it was pretty clear, even from David Poyle, that they would not put themselves in the category of Stanley Cup contender. I think from 2016-ish through 2019, I think they would put themselves in there. And I think that was a fair assessment. So getting back to that, how confident are you that David Poyle can do it?
I think
there's going to be a lot of, you know, the people that
I think he
will
should
take
have done
the
halves.
Time.
I think he should have done halves.
Halves.
I really.
There's
do.
No halves. No half stepping.
Because I think,
like the Renegades of Puck would say, there's no half stepping on this survey. It's
I
one,
think
two, three, four, or five.
2.5 would have won, right down the middle. That's what
okay.
I believe.
It's I think there's going to be some passionate, opinionated people that go lower
three,
than that go 1 or 2.
I think it's going to be between 3 and 2. Would be my guess.
I think the track record would show that he's been able to put them into contender status. The problem is that they've never won it.
Yep.
But I'm pretty confident that he can get them back into the mix. But just like now, the Titans the last couple of years have been in the mix, but they haven't been able to win a single playoff game. That doesn't mean they didn't do everything they could, John Robinson, to put them in the mix. Now, whether they're still in the mix this year, that's, you know, we got to keep looking. I would like to think that they are, but it's hard. So I'm pretty confident. I scored that a 4 for David Poyle, that he can put them into contender status in the mix. But winning it all, we know how difficult that is. And of course, he's never done it. So it's a fair way. So on to number 3. We can go on for a while. So we might have to take a second segment on this.
Yeah,
there's several more. These are all good questions.
They are.
How do you feel about the Predators giving John Hines a new 2-year contract? For it, against it, indifferent. 2-year contract. I answered for it. You know how I stand on that. To me, that was a no-brainer. If it was a 6-year contract, that would be a little different. It's a 2-year contract. I think that is very fair based on what he's done.
I don't know what's going to win. I know what should win, but I don't know what's going to win. I think there's a chance indifferent wins.
How can you be indifferent and do the survey?
I don't
think that should be a choice, either yay or nay.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because I could argue that it doesn't really matter how many years are left on the contract. If the coach isn't getting it done, he's going to get let go.
True.
So maybe that's the answer for indifferent. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know where that's going to go. I'm not sure. I'll be curious to see the results on that.
Like if you are, I guess, the accountant for the team, and you're saying, wait a minute, why would you give any coach 6 years or 7 years? Because you might end up having to pay a big bill with years remaining on the contract. If the odds are, just like any NHL coach, usually it's 4 or 5 years at the most, then I could see that. But, I mean, just trying to be fair, I don't know how you can be against a 2-year deal. It seems very sensible to me. Do you want to hear directly from ownership about the direction of the franchise, yes or no?
Again, I'll be curious to hear what the fans, how they feel about this.
I mean,
I don't have
a hard opinion either way. Like if they feel comfortable doing it and they want to do it, I think that should be up to the owner. You own the team. Of course, this is a unique situation. You're an ownership group. But I guess specifically here, it would be Herb Fritsch, since he's the chairman. It doesn't seem to be a thing that he likes to do. Not comfortable doing it, doesn't have a desire to do it. So to me, that's his option.
Yep. Sigurand was more willing to do that. You know, not to any great lengths, but he was willing to do it.
Yes.
There was a time when David Freeman was willing to do it, right? He was
He was the chairman before. Yeah.
He was more than willing to talk, and it seems like, you know, Herb Fritch, that's just not what he wants to do. I've said it before. You know, Amy Adams Strunk, it's a family deal, but she's running the show. I think she's done a really good job of being more and more visible and out there. I think she could do a little bit more media-wise. I think they sign her up for very, very, very safe events. I think she can handle it. I think she does a good job. But, you know, I don't know if it's imperative that she, but I do think fans, I mean, look,
they'd like to know.
Need to hear from
on occasion, I think yes.
Right?
I think it's, you know, I don't think any fan necessarily would sign up for Daniel Snyder or Jerry Jones, George Steinbrenner, you know, the ones that are always out there flexing their muscles. I own this team and I'm going to make the, you know, I don't know if anybody would want to sign up for that.
No,
but
nobody's
at the same time,
that.
I think everybody would like to know that there's somebody out there. And I think those that this is what's great about Herb Fritch to me. He's always there. He's in the seats,
yeah,
man. He loves the team. He goes on the road. He's got his Predators gear on. Like, he doesn't dress up in a suit, sit up in there and sweet. You know, he's out there. He's among the people. And the people don't even know it's him half the time. Only the I think, nuanced fan really notices that that's the chairman. That's the guy that's on – he's heading up the ownership group.
Yep. Rebecca on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, says that she's frustrated because they fell flat toward the end of March. So frustrated would be her answer.
Sure.
And indifferent on John Hines because she believes Poyle is more of the issue.
All right. Shall we take a break and
let's do
finish
that.
The survey on the other side?
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. Adam Vingan from The Athletic has put it out there. And we're just kind of discussing. You can weigh in as well.
Yeah. And you can go answer the survey. Just go to The Athletic.
And you can go answer it. But we'll come back and wrap up the first hour next. We'll talk to John Glennon coming up here to begin the second hour on the DDC. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you on this gray, overcast, rainy Thursday. Let's bring some sunshine. Let's talk about this poll Adam Vingan from The Athletic has out currently, and we're just kind of going through some of the questions. How would you answer some of these questions? So we ended with, do you want to hear directly from ownership about the direction of the franchise?
Yes, and so we move on. And by the way, we'd love your feedback. If there's a question that catches your attention, you want to comment on it, call us or text us, 615-737-1025. And as we mentioned, this survey is available on The Athletic. And if you don't subscribe to The Athletic, you should. That's unsolicited feedback from me. I think it's the best that's out there. All right. Would you support a full-scale rebuild if it meant picking number one in the draft at least once? Which means you would really have to be bad and you would have to win the lottery because the worst team doesn't automatically pick first like they do in football. Or in baseball. And I guess those days are over in baseball. They've now gone, going forward, there will be a lottery in baseball so you can't tank.
My answer is an emphatic no.
Curious how many people will bite on the yes.
I agree. Well, I mean, it's to each his own. But I just, my whole point in this conversation, when we get to this conversation, when you hear fans say that, is okay. Again, and I've brought things to the table of, so you just want to what? Wait, you want to waste Roman Josi. You want to waste him away for the next 5 years. Or are you trading him away? You just gonna give him away? Are you just gonna waste away Josi Saros? Or are you gonna trade him away too? Are you gonna support the team? Are you gonna care? Or is the attitude, yeah, I want all this to happen, but let me know. Give me an alert whenever you're back to being good again.
Yeah, so sometimes just happens whether you want it to or not for just mismanagement, apathy. It just goes in that direction. You don't plan on having a full-scale rebuild. You end up being bad.
Look,
and
I
that is the top.
The
that's the strength and the weakness perceived anyway of David Poyle. You could look at it that way. He always is smart enough to avoid, for the most part, a full-scale rebuild.
Yeah.
Anytime they've gone down. With the exception of when they started from the very, very beginning, and he was building slowly as an expansion team, they've only really had one dip where they've been bad, and that was only for one season.
Well,
and that was a half a season.
Two top five picks in almost 25 years, and,
yeah.
and the, the number two pick was the very first one.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I get it. Look, you watched Nathan MacKinnon last night. I understand why you're going to watch Connor McDavid tonight. I understand the intrigue with that. Like, I get it. Who doesn't want to have a player like that playing for your team, right? Who wouldn't want to watch that night in and night out? Sign me up. I would too. But I also know that, one, doing that does not guarantee you anything. It guarantees nothing. And, oh, by the way, sometimes it's luck on the draft. Some years you don't have that generational player. Actually, most of the time you don't. It's not like you're guaranteed to have a Connor McDavid, a Nathan MacKinnon, an Ovechkin, those type of guys, Sidney Crosby, that do change franchises. They're not always there every single year. So there is luck involved in, you know, having it at the right time as well. And then the other part is, again, are you willing to support that? It's a really horrible business model. It really is. Because is there a faction of the fans that are going to go no matter what? Of course. And has that number grown over the years? Yes, of course. But there's a whole lot of brand new fans that jumped on board with all the winning, and it's fun, it's the place to be, and all that good stuff. I wonder if they'll still go. If they're not winning, it's not as fun. There's not as many people there. Not as many of their friends or coworkers are talking about it. So are you still going to go? And what's fun about that? What?
Yeah.
Thousands and thousands of empties, kind of a dead night. I mean, we did all that for people who have been here. We've been to those games. I'll take what's been going on during this window all day long over those times. Tuesday night with 8,500 in the stands.
I'll give you the extreme.
Not interested.
I'll give you the extreme, and then we'll get to the next question because we got a couple more we got to get to before the end of the hour. Edmonton was in the 2006 Stanley Cup Final, first year of the salary cap. They did not make the playoffs for 11 straight years. They picked first multiple times. They picked, you named the slot in the top five. They had a pick there. Second, third, fourth, fifth, seventh. You know, they always were up there. It took them that long to make the playoffs. They've won two rounds since 2006. Now, they got a chance this year. They finally got it right. It took a long time. And, of course, that's a hockey market. They'll wait up there, right? They've got the fan base.
They're not going
They're not going anywhere. But there are not a lot of franchises that could have endured that. Okay, moving on.
Oh, well, hold on. Let's
We got a few more we got to get in there.
I know. I want to get Bob and Antioch.
Okay, but there's one I want to desperately get to, and it's the last one, and we're not going to get to it unless we get moving fast here.
Bob.
I'll make this quick. My preference would be, and I know this won't be the popular choice, but I think that they should get a top four defenseman before they get a or preferably they'd get both, but I think a top four defenseman would shore up a lot of the reasons that they frustrated people. And also, I don't think that the franchise could endure a very long drought where they were taking a beating, maybe for two or three years, but certainly not as long as Edmonton.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, you've led us, Bob, into the next question. It's not the next one in the order, but we'll skip it just so we can keep it.
Well, he's
moving
in your camp too about the top four defenseman, because I know.
Yeah, that's how I voted in terms of improving the roster. What should the top priority be? Top six scoring winger or wingers? Now that's two top six wingers. That's not easy to find. You know, like realistically, who's going to go out and get two top six wingers? It's not easy. If you could get one, that'd be really good. But that's a choice. Top four defenseman who can play with Roman Josi or Matthias Ekholm, to me, I like that. That, to me, that would be a really good thing to bolster the D. Backup goalie is three, and then other, you know, you fill in the blank. I mean, in perfect world, one top six winger, one top four defenseman is my list. But if I could only have one, the top priority, I am going to argue top four defenseman. I would love to see that, because then – you don't have to score as many goals. And they scored a lot of goals last year for them.
Yeah, yeah, mine's A. It's not.
You're going
even close.
A, okay.
Yeah, it's not even close.
It's like, one or that, the other. To me, the backup goalie and other, I don't know what you would have there.
That's what the league is now. So you have to conform to the league and the rules, and it's all about scoring now. That's what it is. You got to keep up.
All right, quickly. How many starts should UC Soros make next year? 50 to 55? 55 to 60? 60 to 65? 65 or more?
Let me just tell you right now, anybody who listens to this show or texts this show or calls this show or listens to this station for Predators coverage, if you answer it between 60 and 65 or 65 or more, from all the feedback, I'm going to jump through the computer. Are you kidding me?
I think 60 is the
number. Heard
60 is about the right number.
From the fans belly aching about his starts? Like, no. 55 to 60.
Okay, I say 60 to 65, but I think really it's 60 to 62 is what you want to be.
I wouldn't go over 60, me personally. If okay. you can't get a capable backup to give you 22 starts, I wouldn't go over 60.
Okay.
That's me.
All right. Which player, and this is another misleading, poorly worded choice here. Which player has the best chance of repeating his career best performance? Matt Duchene, Philip Forsberg, Roman Josi, or none of the above? Well, one of them has to be the best, right? Like, none of the above, that means nobody has...
Well, they're not going to have a very good year if the answer is none of the above.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the best chance. It doesn't say who is going to repeat.
Right.
It says who has the best chance. So you have to answer one of the three or you're copping out.
Yeah, really. Well, none of the above shouldn't even be offered.
That's what I mean. It should be one, two, or three. These three guys all had outstanding seasons that will be tough to match.
I mean, I think to me the logical answer
is who has the best chance?
Roman Josi. I mean, that's...
I could make a case for all three. I chose Philip Forsberg just because he's the youngest. And I just think that Roman Josi, 96 points was historic. That just doesn't happen. 42 goals, if he played 82 games, to me, can be done by Philip Forsberg at his age. So that's why I went Philip Forsberg.
Okay.
But, you know, I think you could easily say, I think to expect any of the three to match, you'd have a little more optimism than most.
Yep. All right, we'll come back, switch gears, talk with John Glennon, talk about the Titans. We'll do that to kick off hour number two. That's next.
Hey, guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.